Welcome to Studio Hockey.
Hola, EHL. In just a couple of weeks, we will see another edition of the famous Euro Hockey League going to Spain, to Barcelona. Today we had a talk with two famous strikers of Euro Hockey League history. We talked to Xabi Dabanc from Junior in Barcelona and Bob De Voogd from Orange Red in the Netherlands. You will hear them about their expectations of this year's EHL, but also we talk a little bit about the changes in the world of hockey, the upcoming World Cup, about mixing hockey with your professional career, and all things hockey. We hope you enjoy it. But first, let's hear from the voice of European hockey, Nick Irvine, who's very excited to be going to Barcelona.
Barcelona, such a beautiful hockey horizon for a new season of the Euro Hockey League. 2003, it was the first time that we met, Barcelona and I, when I arrived at the Pau Negri Stadium in the Olympic Quarter of Barcelona as the EHF media officer for the Euro Hockey Championships of that year. It was a stunning event, brilliantly hosted by the Spanish Federation, and showcased the city in all its splendour. I remember that the Dutch team had a very special visitor in the shape of the legendary number 14, Johan Cruyff, who lived and died in Barcelona. Now what a hockey player he would have made. There is a lustre about Olympic cities that often remain attached for years after the five-ring circus has left, and which continues to shine long after the sawdust and the glitter have been swept away. And so it is with Barcelona and the Pau Negri Stadium, which will once again host the Euro Hockey League when the 2018-19 season gets underway in early October. It will be the sixth time that the stadium has played host to a round of the EHL, and it's become a venue that is now synonymous with the ever-popular event through the generosity and long-standing support from the city of Barcelona, to whom we must say a fulsome gracias. Not that the Pau Negri Stadium was the home of hockey during the 1992 Olympics. That event was staged in the city of Terrassa, but like the Lee Valley Stadium in London, it's close enough to the Olympic epicentre to take on the Olympic patina anyway. I'm sure that all 12 participating teams in round one will be overjoyed to be at such an iconic part of this lively city, with its bustling streets, La Musica Vibro, and its Miro and Gaudi inspired art and architecture. Barcelona, a jewel in the crown, has witnessed many great hockey duels over the years in the EHL, and with just four places for the KO16 Easter Bonanza at stake, there is the guarantee of plenty to come this time around. Over the years, we've seen some great matches in the EHL. Back in 2012-13, when there were two round one venues, with two teams per pool going through and no byes, we saw two standout games between four sides who eventually qualified. Amsterdam 4, Beeston 5 was a corker of a game, but both teams were was likely to go through. In the same year though, it finished Ulenhorst Mulheim 3, Club de Campo 4, in a game that the Madrid side had to win to eliminate an unfortunate Dinamo Kazan. We were back in 2013 when round one duties were shared with the city of Lille in France. It was a year of a few surprises, but we did see the eventual finalists Oranjezvart and Harvesterhoede in action, topping their respective groups on the way to the KO16. By the time 2014 came around, we were just looking at a single round one venue with only the four group winners progressing. Most of the drama here came in Pool D, when it all distilled down to how many goals Athletic Terrassa could put past Bromac Kilburn to take top spot and deny SV Arminen. The Athletic boys were just short in the final analysis, and it was a very relieved Austrian team and their Polish coach Dariusz Rakowski who took the qualification spot. And there was no shortage of drama last year either, although it didn't go quite so well for Arminen, who suffered two heavy reverses, shipping 24 goals in just two matches, although this was skewed somewhat by the short-lived field goals count, counting double experiment that has now been shelved. The key game last year was Club Igara, needing only a draw against Saint-Germain to progress. A tense game saw Igara draw level at 4-4 with just 5 minutes remaining, only to concede a two-point penalty stroke to the French team, which Hugo Geniste expertly converted to send Igara up the road disappointed. And who can forget the final four in 2016 here in Barcelona, when the Dutch giants of Amsterdam and Kampong joined with the Harvester Huda and Athletic Terrassa to decide the title. Kampong were at their very dazzling best and put the Athletic boys to the sword by 5-1 before getting the better of Amsterdam by 2-0 in a high-quality final. And so this venue hasn't always been kind to Spanish teams, and now another junior FC must try their luck in their debut season. This is another famous Catalan club who can boast Leandro Negre, son of Pau Negre, and the founding father of the EHL, and Adrian Locke coached the Spanish ladies who took bronze in the recent World Cup in London. I'm hoping that Adrian will be able to join me in the commentary box for one of the junior matches. I will have to remind my former pupil that he doesn't have to call me sir anymore. So lots to look forward to on and off the field. It's an atmosphere and a time to start the celebrations, to come alive and cry, Viva Barcelona, Viva Hockey, friends to the end. And you can be yet part of the celebrations in the Barcelona sunshine by getting your tickets booked and getting your transport organised. The city has so much to offer, and even after a day at the hockey, there's still plenty of quality time left to hit the tapas and cava bars. Late nights are definitely the way to go in Barcelona. So to be part of another memorable chapter in the Euro Hockey League, book now for round one, picking your tickets up at www.ehlhockey.tv/tickets. We'll see you there.
Welcome to Studio Hockey. We are live today with two of former EHL winners and former teammates, Javi Dabanc, who is with us from Barcelona and playing for juniors at the moment. And we have with us Bob de Voogd from Holland playing for Oranje Rood. And they used to be teammates playing for Oranje Zwart, Orange Black in those days, which has now become Orange Red. They used to win together the EHL title, the first one in that for that club in 2015. So they know each other well, but now they will be playing for opposite teams. But both will be playing in exactly 1 month time when the EHL launches again in Barcelona on the 5th, and they play on the 6th of October. Hey guys, welcome to our show. Gabby, let the first start with you, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about all of the clubs that you've played, and where you've played, and where you had, and where you're playing now at the moment as well.
Yeah, okay. It's a long story. I have played for many teams in the past. In EHL history, I played for Polo first, five season, I think, five or six. Then I moved to Belgium, couldn't play EHL there, for Antwerp 1 year. Then I moved to Osset, where I played 2 years, also 2 years of EHL, and then moved to Belgium to play for Leopold, that I played one season. Then I moved to Australia, I didn't play hockey for a year, and now I'm back in Barcelona, playing for juniors since 2 years ago, and luckily this year I will be again playing EHL.
Perfect. Bob, what is your story?
Not that long. I started playing hockey in a small club, my hometown. Then I played for Den Bosch 3 years, and this is my 12th or 13th season in Eindhoven, so I stayed a long time there, still am. Yeah. I only played EHL with OZ and the new club, Orange Red, 2 years ago, so I'm happy to be back this year.
Perfect. What is it with Dutch players, Bob, that they don't go abroad as much as the Spanish do, and as the Argentinians do, and even as the Belgians do?
I'm not sure. I think it's because the league in Holland is good. people say it's the best league in the world, so why move if you got the best league in your own country, I think.
Gabby, you've played in several leagues, playing here. What were your experiences? How do you compare the different leagues? And is the Dutch Hoofdklasse indeed, as they claim, the strongest in the world?
Yeah, I agree, Bob, that Dutch competition is the best one, not only for the level of hockey, that is probably the highest, also because the hockey is different. People really think about the hockey. It's not just a family sport. It's more like a big sport, and maybe that's why Dutch competition is the best one to play in. Belgium as well is growing, as you know. You're from there, and you are very involved with Belgium competition. This has been growing really, really a lot in the last 5 to 10 years, and nowadays I think it can be compared to the Dutch competition in terms of level, maybe not, but in terms of common knowledge of people about hockey. And then we have the Spanish competition that is still a family sport and still small, but I think it's growing, it's getting better. And yeah, they are all different, but all the same. We all enjoy playing hockey, and the three of them are good.
Perfect. Can you tell us a little bit more, Gabby, about the rise of junior? Because especially from abroad, from outside of Spain, we are used to seeing the four top clubs. And now all of a sudden there's this new club also from Barcelona, but nobody heard about them. What happened?
Yeah, that's true. I think it was 6 years ago that the team promoted from second division. Since then, the club has been working really hard to work on hockey and to promote it. And the last 5 years, the team has become better and better. And yeah, last year we had a really strong team. Also 2 years ago, we couldn't make the final four, but last year we made it finally. And yeah, everybody knows just the big four that are Polo, Athletic, Egara, and Club de Campo. But now there is a new player in these teams, and we want to stay there. So now there are five.
Perfect. So you're really challenging the top teams at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Perfect. Because your competition hasn't started yet. You're about to start, I think.
Yeah, we are about to start. This weekend is the first game. We have three games before EHL. That will be good for us. It's been a really short preseason. We just started 2 weeks ago. And really looking forward to start a new year.
Perfect. Bob, for you, completely different story, because you're part of one of the top clubs in Europe, even with Orange Red, Oranje Rood in Dutch. But tell me a little bit about the strengths of the team from this year with Orange Red.
We have a couple changes comparing to last year. Still the main team, I think 15 guys are still there. We have a strong, good mix between young talent and experienced players. We got four players for the national team of Holland. We got Thomas Bils, captain of Belgium team. And we got a lot of good young talent, also from our under 18. Guys like Bram Huibrechts, Max Kuipers, Tim Bynes, I can name all of them. They play a lot and they play really good. We got a new player from Argentina. He played Lucas Martinez. He played for AGC 2 years. He's a really nice guy. He fits in the team well, so that's good for us. He's an experienced striker as well. We have a good balance, I think. Good corner, good goalie, some quality players. And it fits together well this year, so I think we can have a good season.
I think that you will play a Scottish team, Bob, and Austrian team, which would probably be quite special for Benny Stanzel, your teammate, coming from Austria. Does he know the team really well?
I think he does. We played them, I think, The year we won the EHL title, we also played against Arminen in the eighth final, I think. We only won 2-0 and we scored the second goal, I think, in the last minute. So it was pretty close game. Of course, Benny is from Austria, and yeah, there's not a lot of hockey players in Austria, so I think he knows all the good ones. I hope he can help us, but yeah, it's, we don't know them so well, but I think they can play, so we have to be sharp.
Perfect, perfect. And Gabby, who are you playing? Which are your opponents, and what do you know about them?
Well, we play an Irish team, that's Three Rock Rovers, and a French team, Racing of France, yeah. I know them because I've played many EHLs. I haven't played against them, but I know them because they are always there. And that's maybe a thing that plays against us, that it's going to be our first EHL. And the pressure is there. We are the favorite. We have to go through. And it will be really hard, especially the first day, because we play at home as well. Not in our club, but in Barcelona. But I think we have a good team with a lot of experience. We have four international players. I think we will be fine if we do our job.
Perfect. So you consider yourself to be the favorite in your group?
Yeah, for sure. We are.
You will be disappointed. You will be disappointed if you don't go through to the next KO16.
Yeah. That's our main goal of the first part of the season, is to go through. We have to.
Perfect, perfect. Are you both happy with the new rule that was tested last year in the EHL with the two goals for the PCs? That this has been forgotten for this year. Do you think that's a good thing, Bob?
I think so. I think the scores of last year, we didn't play last year, so I didn't experience it myself. But yeah, I looked at the scores, I watched some games, and yeah, I think people don't believe it anymore if it's 16-0, or it's just like, we're used to this, we're used to scoring normal goals is 1 point, penalty corner is one point, one goal. Yeah, that's the way it is. It's normal, people understand it. Some rules are good to change, some things are good, but I think the basics are there, it's easy, everyone gets it. Keep it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gabby,
are you still
a drag flicker? Are you still a drag flicker?
Maybe not this year because of injuries and stuff, but I think the same. One goal is one goal, and it has to stay like that.
Perfect. Yeah, I agree. So that's a good thing then. What are your expectations, Gabby, for this year in EHL? Apart from KO16, do you think that you're capable of going even further than the KO16?
Well, I think our main goal is to go through and be there in the KO16, because I think it's where the real EHL starts. Yeah. But as last year, we made the final four here in Spain in national championship, and that was our main goal. We made it, but then we kept on going. We wanna go as far as we can, and we will do our best. Our goal is to be in the KO16, and then we will see. But we will do our best to go as far as we can.
I can imagine. Bob, what are the ambitions for Morgan Road? I suppose that you too want to go to the KO16, at least?
Yeah, for sure. It's in Eindhoven, so we want to be there. I think it's the same. If you play and you play KO16, you're close to getting to the final. So, of course, we want to get there. We've been there before, so we know how it's like, but it's not going to be easy. Maybe you play against another good team, and you can be out in the quarterfinal or something. So it's really close. When you get to the KO16, I think all the teams there have a good shot of making the final four and making the final. So yeah, we're aiming for that, but it's a long way to get there.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, like you told us, if Oranje Rood is going through to the KO16, the next round we already know will be hosted at your club in Eindhoven, and it will be a special year. But because of the international pressure of the calendar, the KO16, the KO8, and the Final Four will all be played in 1 week at your club.
we did it once again, once before, also in Eindhoven. We had the entire week at one club. But what for me is special that it is played at the club. And now in Barcelona, we will be playing in the Pau Negre Stadium, which is a beautiful location, a beautiful site, beautiful city, and a beautiful place to be. But it's not one of the clubs who is a participant of this EHL. Gabi, how is this perceived in Spain? Why, for example, don't we play at the location of Junior?
Well, I think that's an agreement of EHL with the Council of Barcelona. It was signed 2 or 3 years ago, and they agreed to do the first part of EHL there. I don't know why there, probably because it's Barcelona, and we are in Sant Cugat, that is a different location. We are 15 kilometers away of Barcelona, and I think that's the reason.
Yes,
it's a contract that it was signed a few years ago.
Yeah, will you get a lot of supporters from your club at the location?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. It's the first time that the club plays EHL in history. They have never played any European championship, and I hope they all come to support us. We will need them.
Yeah, I can imagine. And Bob, will there be a lot of supporters from Eindhoven making the travels to Barcelona, do you think?
Probably not as much as from Junior, but I think there's some people coming, which is good for us. It's always nice to have support. So I don't know. I don't think it will be hundreds, but it will be some people. Yeah.
Good.
Are they coming for the hockey or for the party?
Both. Yeah. Well, people from Eindhoven know how to party, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. I just wanted to ask you, what do you think would be the future of the EHL? Because, as you will both know, there's a lot of pressure from international events and the new strategy forced upon us by FIH, which will be quite difficult for European club leagues to continue in the way that we did. And as a first example, we see the EHL who's being forced to play the KO16, the KO8 and the Final Four now in 1 week at one location instead of spreading this out like we are used to because of the pressure of the international calendar and the new Hockey Pro League that will be launched next year. But do you think that EHL will still have a future, Gabi?
I hope so. Because for players that we, for example, I'm not longer playing international for a national team. So if you cut that kind of tournament and national competitions are also being cut because of international calendars, I feel like they are killing hockey. Because we play 2 months, then we have to stop for 5 months, then play another 2 months and a lot of games in just a couple of weekends. Same for EHL. I don't know, but I hope it stays like this or even better than now. We'll see how it goes with the Pro League and what the benefits are of it. But for me, I think this is not good for clubs and for hockey in general.
Yeah. Bob, you will be playing probably both the Hockey Pro League with the Dutch national team as well as a lot of club hockey with your own team. What are your thoughts about this? And do you think there's still a future for events like the EHL?
I agree with Gabi on the point that club hockey also is important. If we only play internationally, like the Hoofdklasse or the Spanish League, they wouldn't exist anymore, I think, in 5 years, because it's not that important anymore. And it's nice, don't forget for the players, it's nice to play EHL. You play against different countries, you play against good teams you don't play against normally in your league. It's a good experience, and it's, for me, winning the EHL is a real big prize. It's not just a tournament where we play a couple games and it's fun, and it's a serious tournament against serious good teams from Europe, and it's a big prize. It's I think it needs to be there. It's part of the game, and it's really nice for players, international players, club players, doesn't matter. It's a good experience for all, so it should be there.
Yeah. We've got one question from the audience coming in.
the guys from Way Down Under from Australia, the Reverse Stick, which is a famous global hockey podcast. They come up with quite a novel idea, a novel solution maybe for the problems with our calendars. It's just, they say, what would you think about moving your club season to the summer, so you don't lose times in those time and the games in the winter? Bob?
Let me think about that. Well, I think the period we play in is pretty short now. What Gabi said, we play 2 months, then the internationals have the tournaments, and then we play another 2-3 months. So it is short, but I think we also need the time, especially in summer, to play the European Cup, to have the preparation for example, the Pro League is coming now, the World League was there, the World Cup, all those tournaments. You also need time with the national team to train. You also need some time to don't train. So for us, it's a long season. We start in August, or we finish in August, and we start in September. And where's your holiday? So you also need some time off sometimes. It's hard. I think it's good to have a good look at the schedule, also with the league. And I think sometimes the break is too long. I agree. But, I don't know. We also have a lot of tournaments in the summer, so yeah.
Will be difficult.
Yeah, it's either one or the other, so.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Gabi? Wouldn't it be too hot in the summer?
Maybe here in Spain, it depends where you go, it can be really hot. I think it can be an option, but actually in Spain we start the competition this weekend, but it's not normal for us. We normally start the last weekend of September or 1st of October, and we are already moving the calendar 3 weeks in advance. And same last season, we finished beginning of June, and we normally finish in May. So it is happening, but it's what Bob says. You have to find a balance between national hockey and international hockey.
True, absolutely.
Calendar, I mean.
I understand. In Belgium, we made a change this year. We adapted the way that our club leagues is being played. We had a similar system to both Holland and Spain and most of the European countries. But they decided to rethink completely the championship, also with the Pro League in mind. What do you think, Bob? Should that also not be done in Holland with the Hoofdklasse?
I think it could be an option. Things like that, I think you should look seriously too. I like it. I like the fact that you play more games that are important. I was listening to your podcast last week. And there's good points and there's like points. Okay, you don't play all the teams twice. That's, for me, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
So you're in the league and you have your own little league in the league.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Could be that.
Yeah. Maybe for the people who don't know, the Belgium system will be, there are still 12 teams in the honor division, but they are divided up into two pools of six. And within your pool of six clubs, you play home and away games. And the other pool clubs, you play only once. And then we make up a ranking. And then there are quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals, which means, yeah, you don't play every club twice in the season, but you do get more do or die games, which I think is really good and a little bit lacking in our current system of competition. Gabi, what are your thoughts about?
I didn't know about it. It sounds good. It's a matter of trying and seeing if it works, and then maybe try it in other leagues. I think in Spain we are way too traditional to change like that. But for example, here we have final four, playoff of 8 teams, and that's also different. So why not? If it works in Belgium, why not here in Spain?
Absolutely. Bob, let me change the subject completely, because you are one of the few hockey players in the world that is being sponsored by Nike. You're wearing the colors proudly right now, I see. Nike has come into the picture lately again with their famous Just Do It ad, and they created a new ad for their 30th birthday of the Just Do It slogan they use, with the American NHL player Kaepernick, which is quite controversial. Have you seen the ad already? What do you think about it?
To start off, my contract just ended with Nike.
Ow.
So I'm looking for a new sponsor. Anyone? No, still, I still play on the shirts of Nike. I still have a good relationship with them. Unfortunately, they won't be in hockey next year. I've seen the ad. It's I think it's typical Nike. They always do stuff like this. They're always a bit on the, how do you say it in English, the rebel side, not the normal route. They take the special stories, the special athletes. And I think in that way it fits. It's what I didn't understand at first is they do this, and they also are a sponsor of the NFL. They are the sponsor of all the gear, all the shirts. So it's a bit, it's hard. They are on two sides now. But I get it. It's part of the image of Nike. People talk about Nike, and I think they had a good thought about it, think about it, and I think all the attention is worth it for them.
Yeah, I can imagine. Gabi, at the moment you're not sponsored by Nike.
No.
you're the typical player who's had an international career. You had, mm-hmm. like you explained to us, you had the option to travel the world a lot. But you're now in the position, like many of the club players, even at the top clubs in all European nations, mm-hmm. where you are combining work and playing hockey at the top level. How is that working out for you?
It is very difficult, especially if you play international hockey. So if you are in national team, then you have to combine with your club and then with work. That's almost impossible. But if you combine just your club and your job, it's still difficult, but you can make it. Especially if you like to play hockey, you do it. You just do it. But definitely it's way more difficult if you are not professional.
No, true. Will you continue to combine work and hockey at the top level?
Yeah, I do. I do now. I'm playing for junior. It's, we train four times a week. We play on the weekends, and I combine it with a full-time job. So I'm doing it. It's hard. I don't know for how long I can keep doing this, but for the moment I'm doing it and I'm happy.
Bob, you're a full-time hockey player at the moment. You've done some things and you've done your studies combining with top hockey. What are your thoughts on this, and how do you see your own future combining hockey and possible professional life?
I always liked doing stuff besides hockey, also to keep your mind off hockey. Sometimes it's hard to be like only thinking about hockey the whole week. For me personally, at times, like now, preparation of the World Cup, you have to. It's every day, it's hockey, it's training, it's all to get ready for the World Cup. So, but I do like to do other stuff, to do projects if I have the time for it. And eventually, I would like to work as well and have a different career. But for now, I also want to get everything out of hockey for the next couple of years. I don't know how long I will be there for, but I still enjoy it. I like playing for the national team. I like playing the good tournaments. I never played a World Cup, so that's, for me, that's a big goal to get to this year. So all the focus is there, and then from there on we'll see. But at least I did my studies. I prepared myself for the second career, how they call it, and so I'm ready for it, and I'm also sometimes looking forward to it. But then again, if I hear the stories of the guys who work full time, I'm also really happy to be able in the afternoon, in the sunshine, to the pitch, to the field, and have some fun as well.
Living the good life as a pro player, huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you touched on the World Cup. That's the big event that is up next on our international calendar. Gabi, you won't be there. You said goodbye to the national team from Spain, unfortunately, and chose, well, unfortunately. Fortunately, you have another career next to hockey next to now. But will you be following it? And who do you think will be among your favorites for the World Cup at the end of this year?
Yeah, for sure, I will follow it. I really enjoy international hockey. It's good level and good quality. I think the favorites are always the same. Australia, Holland, Germany. These are the three. And then you have now Belgium, Argentina, that is the Olympic champion, and England. Then you have Spain that is doing a good job. They have a young team. I think they will train hard and they will try to do their best, and for sure they will fight for it. But yeah, the favorites, I would say Holland, Germany and Australia. Yeah. I don't know Germany how it is now, because I haven't followed the last couple of years really close, but for sure they will be there. They will be in the semifinals, and yeah, we'll see.
Bob, how do you see it?
I see there's a lot of teams who can make it, I think. We played the Champions Trophy. Teams like India, if you don't play on your best level, they will win. They are good. You have to be like 100% for us as Holland to win against teams like India, teams England, Spain, Argentina, all those teams. You can win or lose. You have to be on a good level. Every team is fit. Every team can play hockey. It's about the details, and it's really close. So it will be a good tournament, I think. It's a lot of teams there. The setup is a bit different than it used to be. So we play maybe more games. Maybe if you're first in the pool, I think you skip one game. So that will be something good. It's close. It's also in India, so that's for the European teams, the Western teams. It's also a matter of staying healthy and fit there. So there will be all kinds of things that will be important to be good there in this winter for us. So, but it's going to be close. I'm looking forward. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. I've got one more question from the guys from Reverse Tick. Let's add them on the screen here. They're asking us, what is more important for the growth and sustainability of hockey? Club leagues like we have here in Europe, or international competition like it's being a little bit more pushed now by FIH? Both are there. A difficult question, Gabi.
I think there is not a clear answer. It has to be a good balance between them. I don't know which one is more important for hockey. I think both of them. But you have to find a good balance. You cannot forget one of them and let it just focus all your energy in one of them. I think it's find a good balance. There is no answer for it.
Yeah. Bob?
I agree. Especially in Europe, club hockey is really important. It's not only for the top elite teams that we play for, but it's for like people play for clubs, families play for clubs, like Gabi said. It's part of our culture, so I can't imagine hockey without clubs, or soccer or football without clubs in Holland or Belgium or Spain. It's just the way it is. It's the way everyone does it here. So I think we should certainly keep it that way. It is important in our culture. I do understand the question for hockey to be an international sport, like an Olympic sport. The international schedule needs to change a little bit. So now they try the Pro League. Hopefully it's going to help. But it's different. I think in Australia, you cannot compare Australia or Argentina, maybe Argentina a little bit, but you cannot compare Australia with the Netherlands or Belgium or Spain. Compare with club hockey and international hockey. It's different. And so it's not one-on-one. It needs to be a good balance. For us in Europe, it's with club hockey. for other countries, it could be more internationally hockey and something else. I don't know. So, but I think club hockey here is just part of us. So.
But there are a lot of people who are thinking and or fearing the future for club hockey in Europe. We had a talk, we'll do a podcast with the president of the Belgian club Dragon at the end of this week, a podcast in Dutch. So unfortunately for those who are not Dutch, can't understand it. But he also expresses this fear of the future where professional players like yourself, Bob, and like you used to be, Gabby, who are playing and getting paid by their club, but also playing events like Hockey India League and playing a national team. The tournaments in Malaysia is something new. And the fear is that maybe international players will only be playing for the national team and doing these short, big events like the Hockey India League or a Malaysian or whatever leagues that might come up where you get paid good money for a couple of weeks of hockey and you can combine it a little bit easier with your international career. Do you think that is something that we should fear as European clubs?
I think I understand it, the fear, but I think if the international players start doing that, what is the, like, all the youth players at the club? We have a club of 2,600 people. There's a lot of young kids. They come every Sunday to watch us. What if we don't play anymore? I think if the top teams are out of club hockey, the complete level of club hockey in general will also go down because there is no ambition for the kids. There's no first team they can get to. They don't have any idols because they all play in Malaysia, India, or it's too far away for them, I think. So that's what makes club hockey so important here is every Sunday they come and watch our games. The whole week we train. And we say hi to the kids. We're all together. It's not only a club. And Gabi knows that from his time at OZ as well. One of the first things we always say as the first team is we want to be part of the club. We want to be part of the family. It's we want everyone to share the wins with us and have fun with us and enjoy being at the club. And if that's gone, what's the point of playing for a club anymore? In my opinion.
Absolutely agree. We in Europe, we love our club hockey and with good reason, absolutely. Okay, guys, just before finishing up here, going back to the EHL, who do you think will be the top scorer of this EHL edition, both being strikers yourselves? Bob, who do you think?
Between us or
in total, you can tell between yourself as well. But do you think you will score more than Gabby?
I'm not sure.
let me remind you. I think Gabby has a record in the EHL: 7 goals in one game. Gabby, am I right?
True. Yeah, you're right.
Are you going to do this again this year?
I hope so. As long as we win. If I score 7, that's better. But as long as if we win 1-0 and I don't score any goal, I'm happy as well. But for sure, Bob will have more chances than me. He will play all the games of EHL. For sure, they will make the final. I trust them, guys, playing at home. So you have the pressure.
You have the pressure, Bob. One final question then, also related to the strikers. Who do you think will be who is for you the worst defender that you will encounter? What do you think are the most difficult guys to play against as a striker, Gabby?
Wow, difficult question. I don't know already the defenders of the Irish team, but for sure they will be really hard. They play really hard and they defend really, really strong. And for sure, there will be one or two defenders of the Irish team that will be really hard to beat.
Bob, what are your thoughts?
In general, I like. I don't like the defenders who can run. Because that's what I need. I need some space. I need to run. I like to run. So if they are, for example, Sander De Wijn, he's a guy, he's really, he's really good. He's running, he's reading the game. He's always there when you don't expect him to be there. Defenders like that are hard for strikers, I think. The physical ones, they are annoying, but they're just physical. So if you get around them, they're also gone and you will never see them again. So I don't like the defenders who are always there, have good timing. They are like also, how do you say it? Like they can run, they can move fast. They're not, for me, the hardest defenders to play against.
Makes sense. Even for a fast striker like yourselves. Okay, guys, I want to thank you very much. We've gone over our time a little bit, but it's always interesting when you're talking hockey. It's like that. So thank you very much, and I wish you all the best when you play your first EHL game in exactly 1 month in Barcelona. Enjoy, and I hope there's still a lot of sunshine in Barcelona at that moment. And enjoy your games there, and best of luck with your club competitions this season as well.
Thanks for tuning in to Studio Hockey. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And as always, enjoy your hockey. Bye-bye.